I bet you didn't know David was also a stealth ninja. Because, man, in that film, it's like he turns around, whoa, oh, okay. Pretty awesome. I loved it. I loved it. So when I was probably about 11 years old, 11 or 12, had a sister. She's younger. She's 1 year younger than me, and her name is Yesenia. And Yesenia and I were pretty close. She's only a year younger, so we had same friends in high school. You know, we were pretty close and all that. Well, just like any other sibling, there are times that she just made me so mad, all right? I mean, livid, mad, angry, right? How many of you guys have siblings? Raise your hand. You got a brother, sister? Oh, geez. All right, right. All right. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Everyone does. All right, cool. So my sister, there was a time where we were laying down. Okay, we were laying down, and we like to watch TV while laying down on the ground, and we just take a pillow, like a couch pillow or something, and we were just laying down watching TV. And what I always did was I would mess around with her by taking her pillow and just throwing it across, you know, the hallway and on the other side of the living room. And so she'd have to go, oh, Miguel. She'd get up and go get it. And I just kept doing that over and over and over. I just was messing with her. She's getting frustrated. So a little bit of time went by, and we were watching the next show or whatever and watching some TV. And all of a sudden, she did it to me. And I wasn't looking. I wasn't watching. She grabbed my pillow. She chucked it across the living room. And I was mad. I got so angry in that moment. And I remember I took her, and I was weird. I grabbed her, and I put her on the couch. And I remember, for whatever reason, you know, I remember my mom said, you know, you can never hit girls, right? So that was always taught, never hit girls. So I thought in my brain, I was like, okay, I'm not going to hit her, but I'm very mad. I'm livid. I'm just angry. And I remember I was a little bit sick that week. And there was a lot of mucus, like right here, you know, and also kind of in my throat. And so I was just like, okay. And I was so angry. I'm like, I mean, at least 30 seconds of hawking, right? Just hawking it up. And I just lean over her, and she's all, no, no. You know, she'll stop it, Miguel. I'm going to tell Mom. I'm like, I don't care. You know, I'm just, and this big old luggy just comes out of my mouth, and I let it drip, and it drips half in her mouth, half drip across the cheek. And it was like all kinds of different colors, right? It was like your tie-dye shirts today, man. It was like, pfft. And it landed on her, and man, to this day, she is scarred. She went straight to the restroom. I felt vindicated, right? I felt good. I'm like, that's right. You don't throw my pillow, right? It was so like, you know, I'm an 11, 12-year-old punk, right? And so I remember, so my mom came home, and my sister immediately goes up, Mom, you would believe what Miguel did. He spit in my mouth. And she's like, what? You know, what did he do? You know, he spit in my mouth. It was so disgusting. And, you know, like an parent, you know, it's hours later. And so she's just like, she goes, okay, Miguel, what happened? I was like, I was angry, Mom, you know. So I didn't hit her, though. I didn't hit her, you know. But yeah, okay, I spit in her mouth. You know, so what, you know? And she goes, what do you say? You know, I'm like, and I look at my sister, and I'm like, I'm sorry. But I'm not really sorry, right? Like, for me, I'm in my heart, I'm going, I loved that I did that, right? It was so fun for me, horrible for her. So fun for me. And so I was like, I'm sorry, you know, and I had to like do some chores, extra chores that day, or, you know, I forget what happened, but I just remember saying, I'm sorry, but I didn't really mean it, but I said the words. In this story, you can see in this film, like, Saul's heart is totally, totally changed. And not for the good. It's turned away from God completely, right? You can see it in the story, and you're like, what's going on? And David in this film is asking, hey, you rule the kingdom, but what rules you? What controls you? What has your heart? What has your allegiance, right? And Saul is captured, man. He's turned from God. And so there's moments here, and I read it again throughout this afternoon. I just kept reading the story over and over. It's so good. It's so good. But there's a couple, you should take some time to read it yourself if you haven't yet. This morning we were in chapter 18, but I'm going to read you one verse here. But before I do, there's a couple chapters right after, chapter 19 and chapter 20. And I'm reading this story, and it's you can see how obsessed Saul is, King Saul is, to want to kill David. He is so obsessed with it. His mind is consumed by this whole idea of just killing David. And you can kind of see it in the film. But as I'm looking through it, I actually started to mark my Bible. If you were to see my Bible, I started to mark my Bible just from chapter 18, right, where we read this morning. And I just started to kind of mark down every time that King Saul was wanting to kill or sent his men to kill David. And I went through just a couple chapters. And it looks like I marked 13 different times that King Saul, in a couple of chapters, was attempting to kill David. And then the Bible's so good. I mean, the Bible is not a boring book. You're boring. The Bible's not. Okay, I'm just telling you that right now. The Bible is intense. It is so good. And it actually gives us some a little peek into Saul's thought life. So you can kind of see, like, not only his actions, but, like, what he's thinking. And there's a couple times, I was just marking this down. I'm like, okay, this is good. And one of the things he says, this is chapter 18. It says in verse 17, you know, he wanted to get one of his daughters to David. He wanted to marry, you know, one of his daughters to David. And he goes, here's the reason why. Not because he wanted David to be a part of his family. Not because he loved David. Not at all. He goes like this. He says, I want to give, Merib to David, you know, since he fights so bravely for the Lord. For Saul said to himself, though, I will not raise a hand against him. He said, let the Philistines do that. And then he says this a couple verses later in verse 21. He says, I'm gonna give him my daughter. And he says, and he thought to himself, so that she may be a snare to him and so that the hand of the Philistines may be against him. So again, just like so many different tactics, like Saul was trying to get on David just to kill him. His mind was consumed and obsessed with killing David. What? Just a question for you. What is your mind consumed with? Think about it. I mean, what is your thought life consumed with on a daily basis? Maybe, just maybe, whatever that is, it could be the thing that you're kind of obsessed about. I know obsessed sounds like a strong word, right? But maybe that's what you're obsessed about. It could be a boyfriend. It could be a girlfriend. Could be your phone, right? Let's be honest, like right here, I got a phone too. You're like, oh, pretty phone. I miss you so much. There's no Wi-Fi at Hume. You know, it's crazy. You know, I found a secret here. There's a secret. Okay, you want to get rid of anxiety? My daughter taught me this. There's a little button on the side right here. If you hold it, you hold the button, okay? You see that? And you just swipe it, and like 95% of your stress goes away. Did you know that? All right, taught you something new. But what are you obsessed about? What are you consumed with, right? What is your thought life like? If we were to put your thought life and project it on the screen, what would we see? I don't know. We obviously know at least a little bit of what Saul was trying to do. So much so, listen, he was so obsessed with it that he started to kill other people. There's a moment here, again, I was reading through this, and I'm going, this should be a movie. Oh, wait, Hugh Morty did that, thank you. I was reading through this, chapter 21. David is at this town called Nob, okay? This Nob town, all right? And there's some priests there that help him out. And he's like, hey, I need some bread and I need some food. And they're like, oh, sure, no problem, man. Here you go. And then they're like, hey, do you have any weapons or swords? You know, I'm kind of, I just need to defend myself to give him Goliath's sword. He's like, oh, it just so happens we have Goliath's sword here. Let me give that to you. I'm like, sweet, he's got a cool sword now. You know, so they gave him a little, an awesome sword and some bread and sent him on his way. Well, Saul hears about this. Saul brings the priests before him, and he goes, did you do that? He goes, oh, well, yeah, I mean, we just were helping him out. There's nothing that he's done. He serves the Lord. He battles for our people, for the Israelites. What was wrong? Saul goes, kill them all. He kills 85 people that day, and then he goes to the village, the town of Nob, and kills all the women and children. The entire town is wiped out, all because Saul and his heart and his mind is consumed with killing David. There's another part where Saul actually lies. He says, I'm sorry, right? He says, oh, I'm sorry. I'll change my ways, you know, so to speak. In verse 19, or chapter 19, verse 6, it says, Saul listened to Jonathan. Jonathan's like, what are you doing, Dad? Knock it off. What are you doing, bro? Stop running against David. Start trying to kill David, okay? So real quick, just a side note here. 1 Samuel 19, verse 6, it just says, here's what Saul says. Saul listened to Jonathan and took this oath. As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death. Right? Sorry. Oh, you're right, Jonathan. I'm so sorry. I won't do it again. Promise. Right? Promise. Have you ever been so obsessed with something that you lied to your family about it? That's what's going on here. Have you ever been so consumed, so obsessed about that one guy, that one girl, that one situation, whatever it is, that you've actually lied about it to your family? To people that are closest to you. This is what's going on in Saul's heart. So Saul is saying, I'm sorry. He's regretting some situations, but he's not repenting from it. And the reason he's really regretting is not because he's offended God, right? It's because, darn it, I missed David again. I wanted to kill him. Man, he got away again. We're talking about an unrepentant heart that Saul had. Repentance is a word that's just littered throughout Scripture. It's an obvious word. It's an obvious command in the Bible for God's people to repent from their wicked ways, their evil ways, the ways that are against God, to repent. The word repent, simple term, you can look it up later, you can talk theology later, simply means to turn away from, right? Repent, to do a 180. To turn from that. So if I'm going to repent from something, I'm going to turn away from it. I'm going to repent. I'm going to change. It's a heart attitude. You're saying, hey, I'm going to turn away from this. My heart attitude is now directed in this direction. It's now facing this direction. I no longer go in this direction. I'm now heading this direction. This is the word repent. Saul obviously never repented. He continued down the road. Now, repenting doesn't mean you're never going to sin again. It doesn't mean that you're never going to fall or make a mistake. Certainly, David, who is considered a man after God's own heart, makes some mistakes. So Saul made some mistakes, was unrepentant. David made some mistakes, but was repentant and a man after God's own heart. So what's going on here? There's a word in theology, or a phrase, it's something called the noetic effect. The noetic effect is the effect that sin has on our mind and our intellect. So for example, when I say things like serve, sacrifice, surrender, we just heard that in the song. Okay? Surrender. We hear words like die to self, put others first, others before yourself. When we hear things like let go and let God, when we hear things like give, tithe, give of your time, give of your money, when we hear things like repent, there's a small part of us that kind of cringes at that idea, if we're being honest. The effect that sin has on our mind and our intellect, right? This noetic effect, it's this effect that sin has on these things. We hear serve and we're like, that doesn't really sound like fun. We hear surrender it all, and we go, well, it's not like a, is that like a pleasurable experience, you know? Is it going to be cool or what? You know, there's a small part of us is we don't want to sign up for that, right? You know, if you were to look at statistics in the church, every church is looking for more volunteers, right? You know, they're going, come on, like we're, come on, we need people to serve. Every church is always going like, hey man, if 50% of the church tithed and gave, man, the work we could do, financially speaking, right? There's a small part of us that just goes, no, I don't really want to do that. Which is why, listen, which is why when we hear about a person who is sold out for God, it's like, oh, they went on a mission trip. Whoa, they must love Jesus. They went on two mission trips? Wow. Man, what a warrior for God, right? So we hear this idea, and this is why Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, you probably know, you've heard this verse. Let me read it for you. This verse is on the screen. Romans chapter 12 says this, therefore I urge you, come on, guys. Wake up, guys, come on. This is what he's saying. Brothers and sisters, everybody, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How am I transformed, God? By the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. Repenting, changing this way I'm thinking. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Here's the point. What consumes your mind controls your heart. What consumes your mind will eventually control your heart. It'll eventually control this heart attitude. So what is the difference between, you know, Saul and David, right? There's Saul, this unrepentant person, makes a lot of mistakes. We're reading about it. But if you continue reading 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you're going to start hearing more about David's mistakes. And David had some pretty big ones, man. Yet he was considered a man after God's own heart. What's the difference? Let me give a couple thoughts here. You could probably give a much bigger list if we had time. But here's a couple thoughts. What's the difference? Here's a couple. A man after God's heart honors the Lord. Honors the Lord. Saul was more concerned with his will than God's will. David knew God's will was most important. Even when David didn't do God's will, he still knew God's will was much more important, guys. Over everything else. All sin is a disregard of God. We understand this. But David sinned more out of weakness. Oh, I messed up. And Saul more out of a disregard for God. More out of weakness. Ah, man. Okay. Let's keep going. Versus, I don't want that. I don't want to follow God. I'm going to do my own thing. See the difference? Paul talks about this in the New Testament. He says, I do what I don't want to do, and what I want to do, I don't do. He's following God's will, but there are moments he stumbles. He falls. He trips up. He makes mistakes out of his own weakness. I see my two-year-old walking, right, or my one-year-old walking, and she's doing good, and she's headed in the right direction, but she trips sometimes, right? It's okay, baby. It's okay. So there's this natural idea here that a man after God's own heart honors the Lord. Here's another one. A man after God's heart enthrones God as king. Enthrones God as king. For Saul was king. He said it over and over and over. Hey, I'm king. Remember? I'm king. Remember? I'm the leader. I'm the prayer warrior. I'm the prayer group leader in my school. I'm the president. I'm this. You see what I'm saying? He was more concerned about that. For David, the Lord God, he was king. Both David and Saul knew sacrifice before battle was important, but watch this. Listen, I wrote this down. I wanted to make sure I was clear. But David thought it was important, this sacrifice before battle, right? David thought it was important because it pleased and honored God. Watch this. Saul thought it was important because it might help him win the battle. Do you see the difference? Do you see this heart over here that's going, okay, I'm gonna do the steps, but my heart, right? Sure, praise be to Yahweh. Okay, burn. Oh, did we win? Okay, did I get the throne? Did I get the army? Did I get the reward over here? Lord, you are worthy of this praise. You are worthy of this offering. I am unworthy to be here, to be king, to be your follower. Lord, here is the offering. May it be pleasing to you, right? Whether I live or die, to God be the glory. You see this attitude? David, so we see this, and Saul thought God would help him achieve his goals, where David thought God was the goal. See the difference? Unrepentant, repentant. And of course, a man after God's heart has a repentant heart. This is what we're talking about. When Saul was confronted with his sin, he offered excuses. You ever done that before? Someone catches you in a lie, someone confronts you of a mistake, and you go, oh, well, no, that wasn't me. No, I didn't do that. No, well, you don't understand my situation. Versus, when David was confronted with his sin, he confessed his sin and repented from it. He confessed. You know, we're really good at making excuses. We're really good at that, man. And I feel like the generation's getting better at it. The generation coming up, the younger generation, you guys are coming up, you guys are getting so smart. And it's so manipulative sometimes. I'm seeing this. I'm like, the excuses, I'm like, oh, that kind of lines up. It's like this, okay, maybe that's true. And like excuse after excuse after excuse versus, man, I was wrong. I was wrong. I confess. So hard to confess, right? A man after God's own heart. Here's David. Then there's Saul, King Saul. This unrepentant person. There's a song by Elevation Worship. I don't know if you listen to them. They do this song called First and Only, and the bridge, the lyrics to this song, it's really good, and I'm just going to read it for you. It says, be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul be satisfied. Let me read it again. Be my heart's obsession, first and only in my life. In your love alone, my soul be satisfied. What are you obsessing over? What is your heart consumed with, your mind consumed with on a regular basis? Take some inventory right now. Check your own heart. Search it. Life begins once Jesus becomes the reason we live it. Life begins once Jesus becomes the reason that you live it. Are there some things in your life that you need to repent from? You might be sorry. That's great. That's great. I'm glad you feel sorrow. Good. But don't just be sorry, be different. Don't just be sorry about it. Change your way. Do a U-turn. Let it go. Let it go. Stop doing whatever that is. Turn. Run. If you have to. There are some things that you left back home. You haven't been able to do it here while you're at camp and this really this sanctuary for you. But there's going to be an opportunity again. You need to decide. Have I turned? Have I made a shift? Am I a different person? What do you need to repent from? What do you need to change? I pray that in the next 24 hours, as this is the last night chapel, we have another tomorrow morning, but as you start to think through this life, you've literally seen this life King Saul kind of unfold before your eyes. And I hope it's this huge warning sign to say, I know what not to do, and I need to turn. And there are some things in our life, maybe some things in your life, that you just need to rid yourself of and let it go and walk away from it for good. And you've been living with it for years, and you need to walk away from it. And I pray this next day or so, as you prepare to head home, as you prepare to move on back home and take the drive, that you would just repent. And if you need a counselor, go to your counselor and say, I need help, I need prayer. I want to repent from this. I want to change. I want to follow God. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, you are King. And I know there are some things in my life that over the years I've had to learn and even just be self-aware of, that there are some sin or error in my life that I go, oh man, I need to let that go. I need to turn away from that. It might be turning off our cell phones. It might be getting rid of that. It might be a person or people in our life that we need to no longer associate with. God, I pray that whatever it might be, that you would convict the hearts tonight, that we would repent and turn toward you. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.